Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, let's find out who was hurt today, BJ.
We had four guys. DMP, Shaq Barrett with a hip, Chris Harris with a lower leg, Derek Wolfe with a concussion. He's in a protocol, but he's progressing very successfully. And Isaac Yiadom with a shoulder. We had four guys limited. Cortland Sutton with a quad. Looked pretty good today. Brandon Marshall with a knee. He also looked good. Tremaine Brock practiced today. He was limited. He looked great. And Matt Lacoste with a shoulder is limited. That's your injury report.
Tremaine Brock, Al, looked great. He's limited, but he looked great.
Okay.
VJ, do you expect Chubb and Vaughn to get after Baker early and often?
I would hope so. You know, if we can get a lead, that's our favorite time of the game. You know, let those two guys rush and play coverage behind them and force Baker to hold a ball some and rush the passer. So, I mean, that's our blueprint to win football games. Hopefully we can get that done.
Yeah, well, you've only scored 24 or more points twice this year, so nobody's holding their breath. Joe Woods, trying to find it. Oh, yeah. Talking about Kittle.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
There you go.
Oh, man, a disappointment. I was very disappointed in terms of how we played in the first half. You know, I talked to the guys. We addressed it on Tuesday. In the first half, you know, we gave up 20 points. Kittle had 210 yards receiving, really three plays for 170. And we had eight penalties, and we had five penalties in that two-minute drive. And I don't know what it was. We weren't ready to play. Guys were pressing because in the second half, there's 0 points. Kittle had 0 yards, and we had zero penalties. And, you know, we had a discussion, or I should say I had a discussion with them at halftime, and they turned things around. But we can't do that and expect to win games.
You want a little more?
Sure.
There was some, you know, the one route he ran, it stressed out the coverage, so it was a good route. Based on the coverage we were playing, but the other two were plays that we should have made. You know, they shouldn't have got that type of yardage on those plays. We missed tackles. It was just very sloppy. It wasn't focused. We weren't executing at all in the first half.
Oof. It's disappointing, right?
Yeah. Are you excited about this game this weekend?
Me? Yeah, kind of. I like watching Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
I'm a Baker Mayfield fan.
Yeah, there's nothing that says that we could have gotten Baker Mayfield to the Denver Broncos because the Browns were not going to move out for the pick.
Mm-mm. Nothing we could have done.
Yeah.
They were zoned in on Mayfield the whole way. They were not going to give up that pick for anything. Nothing we could have done. Nobody could have done anything. Sam Darnold, different story. Never mind, of course, Rosen, Allen, Lamar Jackson. You know, Lamar Jackson has beat out Joe Flacco.
Apparently.
How about that? What do you think about that?
It just means that Joe Flacco is going to be a free agent next year, or maybe he'll be part of a trade in some organization.
It's a pretty big moment right there. Lamar Jackson beats out Joe Flacco.
Well, it was going to happen at some point. No matter what, you drafted him in the first round. He's supposed to play, right? It was going to happen. If it's not this year, then certainly next year.
Lamar Jackson asked if he's calling the Ravens his team.
It's common for a starting quarterback to call his team, it's my team. Are you able to say that, ready to say that? This is your team?
It's our team. All of us together. It's our team. I don't go out there and block. You know, I don't go out there and catch the ball. I don't make tackles. You know, I just do my part. It's all our team.
It's a little Philip Lindsay in there, isn't there?
I think that is a sign of maturity.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where that that reporter was going.
My name's Philip Lindsay. I'm from Colorado. Once a Colorado.
That seemed like it was years ago.
Lamar's got a little higher pitch, doesn't he? He's got a little...
it's easy to it's easy. It's so much fun when you win. You can joke.
My name's Philip Lindsay. I'm from Colorado. Once a Colorado.
Maybe my favorite Roman of the entire season right there. Yeah, big news. Lamar Jackson. So all the quarterbacks drafted in the first round are now the starters for their teams. It happened for all of them. So, Al, I don't know. I don't really see it right now this year with the quarterbacks, but if I could be convinced, I guess. I mean, I know they're going to go through this whole process in 2020 anyway. But if you just think, hey, man, you know, Drew Lock is can't miss, and okay.
Well, I just said he's got a strong arm. He had a wonderful year his junior year. His junior year, he lit it up.
I know the future for the Denver Broncos will be a drafted quarterback taking over for a veteran at some point. Why? Because that's just what goes on with every other team. That is just how it happens with every single other team. And why are the Broncos so special? They're not. If you want to have long-term success in this league, at some point you have got to develop a quarterback. Just picking up free agent quarterbacks is a mess. It's all over the place. And you just cannot sit there and count on a Peyton Manning will be available when you need him. It's just too much of a risk. There's a lot of people that say, hey, look at Kirk Cousins, man. That guy's a bum. He's not worth all that money. He was the number one free agent quarterback last year, and nobody's even wanting to debate that. So, you know, at some point, that's got to happen.
Drew Lock's number as a junior at Missouri, 3,964 yards, 9.5 yards an attempt, and 44 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. His senior year numbers, 31-25, 7.8 less yards per attempt, and 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. So on paper, it looks like he has regressed, but his actual percentage of passes caught increased by 5%.
Well, let's go to our football, college football guru, also our fantasy football guru, and he drives Shelby's. He has Nike shoes. He doesn't wear glasses anymore.
You mean Jordans?
What'd I say?
Nike shoes.
It's not the same thing?
Not really. Uh-oh. Team Jordan is like its own brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? They may have a Nike swoosh on them.
A priest, a rabbi, both walk into a bar. Hey, what color's the wallpaper? Yeah, you know what? I'm just trying to say Cecil Lambie's coming up next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Let's go to Cecil Lammie. Cecil Lammie in fantasy football tonight at 7 o'clock, right, Cecil?
That is right. It's fantasy football time, and it's the second week of the fantasy playoffs, so things are getting stressful in my world.
Yeah. Yeah, I got killed. Oh, my God.
You're out?
It's a two-week thing, but I just got... How'd you do in your first week, at least in the fan league, Cease?
Yeah, in the fan league, I think Sandy got me by about 10 points, but I'm within striking distance. Personally, I don't like the two-week playoff thing where it's 2 weeks games compiled together, but at least we're both alive, technically.
Oh, I'm dead as a duck. You're much closer than I am. I John Davis beat me by like 70 points.
Oh,
everything fell apart for me. You know,
did he have Derrick Henry?
I forget who he had, but I know who I had. Mitch Trubisky, and even though they won, look at the score of that game, right?
And
the Rams laid an egg, and I also have running back, come on, Todd Gurley. You know, so things just thank God for Christian McCaffrey. He's been unbelievable for me this year. But in terms of fantasy, it is a tricky time in fantasy because a lot of people don't even care anymore, right? Because they're not in the finals. Even if you have a 14-person league, only four go to the finals, right, Cease?
Right, and that's the thing about this time of year is like, okay, it may sound crazy, but Eli Maguire might help win some fantasy championships, and people will be like, well, who the hell is that? Or Justin Jackson, right? Let's talk about the Chargers up tomorrow night against the Chiefs. Like, okay, Justin Jackson, everyone drafted Melvin Gordon, right? But yet we get to this time of year, and that's when the backups to the backups come into play because these are the guys that are going to be playing. You're lucky if you have Nick Chubb, who's healthy and rocking and rolling. You may have had James Conner, and now you're sitting there scrambling because someone else got Jalen Samuels. So right. It's definitely complicating, and guys you've never heard of are helping win games, and you know that makes people upset.
Yeah, that takes a lot of courage to play those guys, though, to be quite honest with you, even though you make sense. Anyway, that's tonight at 7. You know, Al and I are going around and around about, we're looking ahead to the draft already. So yeah. I talked to a personnel guy, and they go, Drew Locke is a turnover machine. He has small hands, and he's fumbling or throwing interceptions too often. Your response to that is what?
My response to that is he has cold blood. So while that's true, and we'll get the official hand size, of course, later on in the year, but while that's true is that's the main knock on Drew Locke is that he is a turnover machine. It doesn't stop him. He keeps slinging it. He is fearless, and man, that ball jumps from his hand. It really just fires out of his hand. So there's a lot to like there about Drew Locke, but he's seen as a first-round pick. There's probably three if Justin Herbert comes out, three quarterbacks, that is, if Justin Herbert comes out, but I've heard he's planning on staying. So now we're talking what?
I heard that today, too, and I heard that he's greatly influenced by the fact his brother will be a freshman tight end there.
Right, right. And then, of course, you know, you're not going to get in the way of family there. So it's interesting to think, okay, is Drew Locke and then what, Dwayne Haskins, the kid from Ohio State? And I understand you were saying, you know, hey, let's go get Lincoln Riley and all that. And that's cool, but I'll throw out a Haskins-Urban Meyer combination just to be crazy, right? But that's kind of where we're at now for Broncos fans or if we're watching this team closely. It's like, well, what are they going to do from now? Because waiting in 2020, guess what? Everyone else will be doing that except for maybe the Giants, right? So trying to get Tua Tagovailoa, and I'm just glad I can pronounce his name, Trevor Lawrence, you know, trying to get one of those guys in 2 years, you get in line because there's going to be a lot of guys getting in line for those two. None of these quarterbacks that we're talking about, Will Greer, Drew Locke, Jared Stidham, Dwayne Haskins, none of them would be rated higher than Lamar Jackson if they were to come out in last year's draft.
Well, we're going to have, I think, two first-round quarterbacks at a bare minimum with Drew Locke and Haskins. It sounds like Haskins is going to come out after the bowl game. What was the quarterback, Cardale?
Cardale Jones.
Jones had a terrific year, won a national championship, and stayed and got penalized heavily.
Right.
Why wouldn't he just go ahead while it's hot and it's a weak quarterback class not come out this year? Now, I understand about Herbert staying there in Oregon and wanting to play with his brother, but, man, it just seems that, you know, this quarterback from Ohio State, man, Haskins, man, he's got a cannon. Now, he doesn't – you know, he throws some passes that make you shake your head a little bit. So nobody's perfect in this year's NFL draft, and nobody was last year.
Right.
But, boy, you're talking about that Patrick Mahomes type stuff where you can get the ball anywhere, but he's not mobile.
Right. And when you look at that situation with Haskins, it's like, okay, what about decision-making? Like, all of this is going to come back into play. We're going to look at everyone with a critical eye. And I've often said of the three top quarterbacks, and I'll throw Locke in here because he may be the top one this year. Okay, just from a pro comparison standpoint, from a physical skill set, not a mental skill set, which is important, Locke is kind of like a Tony Romo, right? If you look at Will Greer, I like Will Greer, but he's Andy Dalton. His arm's like super weak. So, okay, that's a second round, like Andy Dalton type quarterback. And if Herbert did come out, he's like Ryan Tannehill. He's tall and raw. Do any of these names excite Broncos fans? No, they shouldn't. And Haskins, I know people have thrown around a Vince Young comparison. I don't necessarily see that. But again, think of you're drafting the next Andy Dalton. Well, that's not exciting. Of course, it's not exciting to stay with Case Keenum either. And, you know, Al, that's why you You gave us that sweet promo yesterday.
Right. I mean, it's big time or nothing for me. And I'm looking for big time.
I got a fun one, Cecil. I'm going to test you. This is your... You got to dig. Bo Levy or Levi Mitchell?
Oh, CFL kid, right?
CFL kid. He was the CFL MVP this year.
Yeah, CFL MVP.
Not so much a kid. 28. That's right. SMU and where else?
Oh, where did he end up after he left SMU? Eastern Washington.
Oh, my God. You are ridiculous. You are ridiculous.
It's that red turf, man.
Dude, you are ridiculous, Cecil. That is a riot. Well, he came and tried out for the Broncos just the other day.
Right. And I understand looking everywhere, but like Al said, let's go big time, right? Let's find the guy and then make him the guy. I mean... That's what you need to do. Make a decision. Stop trying to be competitive and rebuild at the same time. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work. You end up with Case Keenum if you do that. So strip it down if you have to. Get a top pick if you have to. Find your guy and then make him your guy and build it up from there. Or trade up to get him or whatever. But, you know, this messing around, getting a free agent, drafting a first-round quarterback, then never playing him, like, that obviously doesn't work.
You are too much. Well, Bo Levy Mitchell has been through with Calgary for like 6 years, and he's 28 years old, and he was the MVP and a Grey Cup champion, and, you know, he's done it all.
Like a Warren Moon.
You know, it always amazes me, like, what guys, you know, can make it as backup quarterbacks and get a chance and what guys can't, you know? But at least we know this guy's played. But at best, what's he, you know, battling for Garrett Grayson's practice squad spot? I mean, is that really where we're going?
Right. And we remember, the Broncos had in the number one pick in the CFL draft, Mark Chapman, for Central Michigan, right? And he came in during training camp, and a nice kid, but, man, he wasn't very good.
By the way, I saw Todd McShay mocked Marquise Brown to the Broncos as a Tyreek Hill type of player.
Yeah. That's the comparison that people will say, but, I mean, Hill's a rare, rare asset. He could be this year's John Ross, right? Does anybody want that now? Right.
Is that Ross?
I don't think I've ever seen a player like Hill. I don't think I've ever seen a guy like that.
Well, you're 5'9" and fast. You're going to be Tyreek Hill, supposedly, right?
I think Tyreek Hill is like 5'11", D-Mac.
Oh, there's no way. There's no way.
I'm telling you.
He is tiny. I saw some video of him just the other day at practice. He is tiny. There's no way he's 5'11".
Listed at 5'10". 5'10",
185.
Okay, so what does that mean? Well, what's Philip Lindsay listed at?
I don't know, but...
There are so few NFL players I'm taller than, okay? Yeah, so Philip Lindsay... I'm taller than Philip Lindsay, okay?
Philip Lindsay's listed at 5'8".
Yeah. He's not 5'8". I'm only 5'8 when I'm wearing shoes. There's no way Philip Lindsay is 5'8".
What did Tyreek Hill run at the combine?
He wasn't invited, remember, because of his domestic issue, right? That was okay. The policy and the rule. Yeah.
Somebody had him at 4.25.
Yeah, he's a 4.2 guy, legit speed. And listen, a Broncos, I saw McShay's mock draft, but it's like, now's not the time to take a wide receiver. This is a defensive-heavy draft. You better be taking a defensive lineman, an inside linebacker, or a cornerback, because there's a lot of really good ones coming out this year.
I see. So you say no quarterback then, huh?
I don't see any of these guys jumping off the page to be like the man, to be big time like Big Al wants.
All right.
I'm saying try. Try. Maybe you missed
it
on
this
one.
It can't be try. It's either you believe it or you don't believe it.
Keep trying. You can't win unless you have that guy in the pocket. You cannot win. You cannot win big in this league consistently without that guy. So keep trying.
But when you see that guy, go get him, because this team really liked Baker Mayfield, and they were trying to be active, thinking that if the Browns passed on Baker Mayfield, that they could move up from 5 and get him, and you couldn't get him.
Couldn't get him.
So if you find a guy and you like a guy, go get the guy.
Thank you, Cecil. We'll listen to you tonight, and we appreciate all the knowledge. Cecil Lammy, you're amazing. You pulled Eastern Washington out. That is incredible. That was awesome. Thank you, Cecil Lammy. How does Cecil do that?
This is what he does.
I mean,
you know, I've known Cecil for.
Don't you think that's a bit ridiculous that he would know the school that Bo Levy Mitchell transferred to?
I've known Cecil for over.
This is absurd.
Wow. Over 22, 23 years. And this is what he's been doing.
It is unreal. It's amazing.
Here's what when I knew Cecil was obsessed. Cecil, back in the day, before we had video the way that we have it now, has a library of every game that the Denver Broncos have played preseason, has it on a VHS for the last, I think, 25 or 30 years. And he goes back and he reviews them and watches them.
There's a woman that married Cecil. That is another great story.
I mean, who keeps preseason games?
This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Mark. What's up, Mark? You're on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Hey.
Hey, to start off, I want to just say, first of all, I lay this mess at the feet of Elway, so I'm not trying to make excuses. It all starts there. But I want to get your take on something moving forward. The way I look at it, we got ourselves, we had a nice couple of wins there. We went on a nice little win streak. Elway's put together himself a nice group, a nice little coaching staff we got right now.
We see what you're doing, Mark. We're drowning in your cleverness. We get it.
Can we move on from a leader of men and get a head coach? Yes.
Who would you like?
Anyone.
Who?
New, I don't care. Just someone with a track record, just move on.
Who? Like
I don't care. I don't care. I don't have a name. Just can we say this is not working? Are we still going to put our head in the sand and say, oh, it's so burning?
All right, your phone's breaking up. I appreciate it, though, Mark, and I like the jokes. I get it. You're frustrated. We're all frustrated. You want to see better for the team? Vance Joseph is learning as he goes, getting better as he goes. So is the staff. They haven't had a high quality quarterback in their 2 years. The draft of Paxton Lynch. I mean, we should be in year three with Paxton Lynch, right?
You know it.
We should be in the Jared Goff time for Paxton Lynch.
You know, this is one of the, and I knew it eventually that the conversation was going to have to be had about one of my best friends, Vance Joseph. Mm-hmm. But the evaluation process is so closely tied to what's happening at the quarterback position. And the thing that is the toughest for me to really evaluate the job of the coaches, because everybody loses in this NFL. I mean, we saw the Patriots lose on an improbable play last year. We saw the Raiders beat up on the Steelers last week. We saw the 49ers beat up on a team that had a nice little winning streak with the Denver Broncos. But the one thing that you don't know and you can't really evaluate is how good is this coaching staff when the question mark is clearly around the quarterback. So that is something that I'm struggling with, because I can certainly separate the friendship to give you an evaluation. I think last week with the team coming out flat and uninspired is a real issue. But I think a lot of that falls on the hands of its captains. Like, who you have deemed to be the captain of your team is the person who is responsible for rallying your team. And those things shouldn't be held lightly. The captain, the guy that with the C on the chest, determines the style and the way that you attack every game. I just don't think that, you know, the way that we start games, and what do we average, like 1.3 points per, you know, in the first quarter of the games this year? That's not coaching, man. That's players. Yeah. Even bad teams do better than that. Mm-hmm. And as soon as Case Keenum began to be careful with the football, We just didn't have anything to get excited about around here in Denver. I don't know. I can't separate the two. Because if you have a good owner, you have a good general manager, you have a good good head coach, and you have a good quarterback, there's no way you can lose in this league. There's no way you can lose if you have a good head coach, a great owner, a good general manager, and a good quarterback. Those variables determine whether or not you're going to win in this league. Now, the question mark is, how many do we have of those four? Do we have a great owner? We don't technically, Mr. Bolin is still the owner of the team, but he's been incapacitated for some time. So there, I'm going to say no. Do we have a great general manager? That question is, if you're asking me, any general manager that is responsible for a team getting the two Super Bowls and winning one, that's a mark of a good general manager, okay? Do we have a good head coach? I would say that we have a good head coach, but we don't have a good quarterback. Our quarterback is at the bottom of. So let's count. Let's count two of the. We have two of the four. If we have two of the four, then we're probably going to be a 500 team. If you have three of the four, you're probably going to, you know, have one of those teams that are going to be a playoff team. If you have four for four, you're probably looking at a team that is heading to the Super Bowl or playing for the AFC or NFC championship every year. If you have all four of those components. But without the quarterback and the patience to develop one, I don't know what to say. Because the quick fix is right in front of us right now. Joe Flacco is the quick fix. He is the quick fix. He is going to help this team become relevant again. He's 34 years old also. But he can throw the crap out the football and make every throw in this league. We've seen him do some amazing things right here in our backyard of Denver. But now, that's the quick fix. And we understand how this goes. You fix it now. He's here for, call it 4 years, call it five, until he's 39 years old. Then what do you do? Or do you say, I don't care about what happens 5 years from now. Just get it fixed. See, some people are just like, get it fixed. I'm one of those guys, you know, and I'm one of those guys that believes that when it's broken, scrape it, start over, let's go from scratch. Trying to fix it is always harder than starting over from scratch.
I got some fun things to run past you in terms of quarterbacks taken in the Paxton Lynch year. And little birdies are chirping just a tad. You want to stick around and hear this coming up next.
It's The Drive with Big Alan D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
What up, Larry? All right.
So when Paxton Lynch was drafted 3 years ago, here are some of the other quarterbacks taken in this class. Because this was the hope that Paxton Lynch would be. Number one, the Rams, Jared Goff. How do you think he's doing so far, Al?
He's all right. He's doing okay, right? Doing okay.
Number two, Philadelphia Eagles took Carson Wentz.
The second pick in a draft? Oh, yeah.
Do you think they're worried about the quarterback situation in Philadelphia right now?
No.
I mean, they're worried about their team, but, you know.
No, they're not worrying about their quarterback for the next 10 years. Neither team is worried about their quarterback for maybe the next 14 or 15 years.
So then it goes like this. Paxton Lynch, Christian Hackenberg, Jacoby Brissett, Cody Kessler, Connor Cook, until you get to Dak Prescott. Now, what an outlier that is, right? Like, how in the world did that work out for the Cowboys?
It's worked out really well for them. And Dak Prescott, at the time of the draft, was an older guy when he was drafted. He was 23.
Remarkable. After that, Cardale Jones, Kevin Hogan, Nate Sudfeld, Jeff Ruddick, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driscoll, and finally, Brandon Doughty. So you see what happens if, like, hey, man, it worked out with Dak Prescott, right? But we are talking about the Brissett, Kessler, Cook, Jones, Hogan, Sudfeld, Ruddick, Allen. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get deeper than those first couple guys, and who knows? So not that it can't happen. It certainly can. But your odds of it happening, if you're not taking one of the top guys, it gets dicey. But essentially, wasn't Paxton Lynch supposed to be Jared Goff or Carson Wentz right now for the Broncos?
Yes. Or Dak Prescott, even.
I'm just going to
keep drafted in the first round, who is a starter.
I'd say the Cowboys got lucky.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, that worked out for him. And they wanted Paxton Lynch, too, supposedly. Now, if you're the khaki pants crew, you look at Dak Prescott and you're like, see? All you had to do was wait till the fourth round and you got Dak Prescott. But the khaki Panthers, who I believe are related to the 72ers, will never point out Cardale Jones. They'll point out Dak Prescott at overall pick 135. They won't talk about Cardale Jones at 139.
Mm.
You had, but when you look right up at Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch should, this is the time that Paxton Lynch should have been
coming into his own.
Right there. Now the question is, why didn't the Broncos in that particular year move up? Well, it was hard for them to move up. They had just won the freaking Super Bowl. They had the last, I think they had 31. Because there wasn't a 32 that year. So, it's hard, Al. That's why if you really want to look back at it, you say, holy cow, I cannot believe we didn't sign up Brock Osweiler. Right? What were we thinking? And it also goes to show you, in this particular draft, instead of moving up and in the 20s, you should have just either stayed pat, picked another position, and taken your chances with Connor Cook, Cody Kessler, Cardale Jones, you know, whatever, right?
Right.
Maybe you would have got Dak Prescott. But the fact of the matter is, because of where you were and what you did and how many other teams passed up on Paxton Lynch and you got desperate, you did something dumb. So, listen, I get it. And if you believe in this quarterback in this next year's draft, Al, I'm not going to stand in your way. And if I believe in him,
I'm terrible at evaluating quarterbacks.
But if we really do have the 19th or 20th pick and we don't move up and we just sort of say, okay, hey, Drew Locke's there. We're taking Drew Locke. I think it's risky business. But I'm fine with it as long as you can completely commit to him. That's why when you've got, look at this, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. Oh, you know, Mike Evans would say to me, oh, you just take either of those guys. Just take any of them. I'd be like, yeah. Yeah, I would take any of them.
But the Eagles did the unthinkable. In that offseason, they paid $18 million per season to go get Sam Bradford. And, it was the best poker hand ever played.
It's brilliant.
Best poker hand ever played. It's like seeing a pair of fours on the board and somebody saying, oh, my goodness, what is he doing? Well, he's got the other two in his hand, too. There's four fours, and that is an unbelievable hand. They played an unbelievable hand against the rest of the NFL to get the number two pick. And everybody was like, what are they doing?
Brilliant. And by the way,
never really wanted Sam Bradford. They never really wanted Sam Bradford.
If I was in the position where it was Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf, I would have taken Ryan Leaf if I couldn't get Peyton Manning and take my chances. Didn't work out. It turned out to have a lot of issues. But, you know, he was the, you know, he profiled the best at the time. But once you get a little deeper, boy, I'll give you that, Mike and Khaki Pants crew. The draft feels like a bit of a crapshoot when you get the deeper you go. Oh, Brandon Allen, who's that? Jeff Driskel started.
Against us.
Against us. Bengals. Yeah. Jake Ruddick, who? Nate Sudfeld, I've heard of. Kevin Hogan's on the Broncos. So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Al.
Kevin Hogan is better than Paxton Lynch.
Well, yeah. So at this point, if we see that Dak Prescott is doing what he's doing, and he was drafted to 135, and I hear from the khaki pants crew, just pick up somebody later in the draft and see what they have. Well, by all that logic, why aren't we giving Kevin Hogan a chance right now?
That's a good question. That's a good question because don't you need to know?
Don't you need to know? I mean, if it doesn't...
Or do you say that, hey, man, look, we still have a 3% chance of getting to the playoffs? Well, I know this. The coaches want to win because it's their record. But, you know, if we continue to lose and we play a young player at quarterback, we get a better draft position.
Yeah, what do we have to lose?
And then we'll get, but then we'll get a phone call like we just got saying, fire Vance Joseph. Not understanding that it's a team game. And, you know, the coaches are responsible for putting... I think the Broncos lost two really bad games this year. I think the Jets loss and this loss last week, those were two really bad losses. But this is a team that also beat the surging Seattle Seahawks. That was a great win. This is a team that also beat the Steelers. That was a great win.
Chargers on the road.
Chargers on the road. Great win. You know,
there is a silver lining if we can win out. Can I tell you what? It's not making the playoffs. This is a fact. Los Angeles Chargers, last year, Al, were 3-6. They finished the season going 6-1. Now, they didn't make the playoffs, but they absolutely gained a certain amount of momentum coming into this year. But guess what they did? They kept everything the same. Anthony Lynn stayed as the head coach. They had a sense of stability in their organization. They didn't make any dramatic moves. They kept their same quarterback. See where I'm going here? Like, if they started off 3-6, they went 6-1. If the Broncos went out, they might not still make the playoffs. They'll finish 9-7. But they would have had the same story this year as the Chargers.
Who started 0-4 last year? And,
eventually, we're 3-6.
Right.
So, why, if the Broncos could win these last three games, why would you make any changes?
You mean at the quarterback position, too?
At the quarterback and coach position. That's a big ask. Can the Broncos beat the Browns?
Sure.
Can the Broncos beat the Raiders on the road?
Sure.
Can they beat the Chargers at home?
Sure. And the Chargers right now, what is their record? Like 11-3 or something like that? 10-3.
Yeah.
A couple more wins, and then that game doesn't mean anything on the last game.
No, they're locked in. They're not. Well, I mean, I guess they could get the Chiefs at this point, right? I guess they could still battle for that.
It's a Thursday night game. I mean, if they beat the Chiefs.
It's a big game, yeah.
Yeah, if they beat the Chiefs, then we're talking about them winning the AFC West. And if they're talking about winning the AFC West, I don't think we can beat them. Being totally honest. But we did beat them earlier in the year at their place.
But a team
that's motivated to get home field advantage and home field advantage and a first round bye, man, that's something to play hard for.
When we come back, I got a what if scenario built from rumor. Stick around. Mark Schlereth, what's happening there, Stink?
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
All right, so we had the war room yesterday, and I think there's big takeaways from the war room about this Broncos team. And here's the biggest takeaways. This team, I think, has been exposed. They are still in a talent drought. As good as this rookie class was, and this rookie class has been exceptional, you still need another rookie class or two more like the one you got this year for you to be consistently competitive in the lines of scrimmage and some of the areas of weakness that you look at with this football team. All those years of poor drafting, all those years of going after athletes, you haven't overcome that yet. You still have to have another good offseason from a free agent standpoint and a great offseason from a draft standpoint to build your football team. The other big takeaway, one of the other big takeaways was you're stuck. Like, even if you don't like Case Keenum, you're kind of stuck because there's not a lot of great options. Now, I believe that you have to be in the business of drafting a quarterback, regardless of where you draft him, and you've got to keep developing guys. But right now, as currently constructed, I don't know that there are any great options if you're thinking about dumping Case Keenum and saying, let's go in another direction. You know, you look at last year in Minnesota with Case Keenum, and he was exceptional. There's no question. You look at what he's doing this year, and it's what he's done every other year of his career. He's just gone back to who he is. So you're stuck, and you've got to continue to build your roster so that hopefully next year you can be more competitive when you get your kites on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.